Well, hello again, everyone, and welcome back to the Dog Show Drive with Wayne and Will. I'm Wayne Cavanaugh.
Yeah, you are Wayne Cavanaugh, and I'm Will Alexander.
Indeed, you are.
Number 76,
just like the Philadelphia 76ers. This week, we're going to talk about sportsmanship and how important it is, not just to your individual peace of mind, but to the sport itself. Also, some big dog shows, including a 5,000-plus entry, the AKC Invitational. All that and more right here on the Dog Show Drive.
I'm born to run down rocky cliffs. Give me grace, bury my sins. Shattered glass and black holes can't hold me back from where I need to go.
Oh, 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 oh. Well, hello there, young William. How the heck are you, bud? Heading out to Calgary soon, eh?
Next week, I'm going to Calgary for the annual CPHA Top Dog Dinner.
Well,
it's there the only dinner in Canada that showcases the winners from the previous year. It takes a whole year before we can do it. But
so the dogs come to the dinner?
Not usually. Yeah. We've had the odd one show up, the Top Dog. Back in the day when Fred and Herb did it for President's Choice, because President's Choice used to sponsor our Top Dog Dinner up here. That's a huge, it's sort of like, I don't know what would be akin to President's Choice down there. It's a huge grocery chain anyway.
Oh.
And they used to sponsor it because Dave Nichols back then had show dogs. And so he showed an interest in show dogs. But Fred and Herb used to have the Top Dogs on display at the dinner, and it was kind of fun, you know.
Yeah. I judged, where the heck was I? I think Ireland. I judged a knockoff at a dinner. You ever heard of such a thing?
No.
It's a dinner. It's an actual dinner. And they have it set up like a runway down the middle in a stage. So think of a capital T, then all the dining tables are all around that.
Oh, okay.
And they bring out two dogs. And the judges, there's three judges, pick one of the two. That dog's out. Next one comes up. And if the same dog wins, the other dog leaves and he stays in. They can stay in for five or six, you know, wins and then get beat. And the next dog takes off and keeps winning. It's who's ever last standing at the end. So it's one dog against one. The winner advances only. And you get this pyramid down to the end of one dog. It's really fun. And it's right while you're eating dinner. The dogs are right there.
So it's like a walk-off.
It pretty much is. Yeah, there's no moving into any great, there's no room for it, you know. They pretty much bring them out and go, hey, here's my bourgeois. But it really was cool. And I think it was in conjunction with the World Congress, the old World Congress in Dublin, where I spoke and then changed my outfit and sung country songs under a streetlight on Grafton Street on St. Patrick's Day.
How cool is that? I was about to bring up that sounds like this. I don't know if you ever, have you ever seen Zoolander, the movie?
No, I don't watch any of that.
Yeah, you don't know what you're missing. The Academy Award winning stuff that gets passed by. Anyway, there's a scene in it where Ben Stiller has a walk-off. He's a model, and they do this as a runway, and everybody sits, and they vote on the two of them. Yeah, it's very similar. It's a big event, and then that's, you know.
It's actually pretty funny, because the World Congress, you wear a tuxedo, and you're there all week together with these countries, all different presidents and vice presidents and officers of all these different kennel clubs. It was a great experience. I've been to a few of them. They don't have them anymore. Last time they hosted it was going to be in America, and somehow it didn't work out. Anyway, we're all fancied up for the week. They take you in these tour buses to places and, you know, pubs and shows and horse farms and all that. And when it was all done, it ends on St. Patrick's, because the dog show is on St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah.
So after the show, I went up to my room and I put on jeans and a sweatshirt and baseball cap and went out and played. I busked. You know what that is? You open your case.
Yep.
And you throw it on the sidewalk.
Make some extra money.
And you play for money. And that's what I was in there for. I was in there for making the big bucks. So I'm out there. I just always wanted to do it. I wanted to say I busked on St. Patrick's Day on Grafton Street.
Sure.
And who knows me there, right? You tap in. All of a sudden, I look up. It's the Russian delegation from the Kettle Club. In their
tux. Eat some money, Wayne.
And I got my head down farther and farther. And they're throwing money in the case.
We'll get you home, Wayne Kavanaugh.
They don't recognize you. And then, so you play under a street light. You pick your street light early on. And when I was all done, I took the case and walked over to the guy under the next street light who was clearly playing for the money. I just dumped my case into his case. Aww. Oh, man, it was beautiful. It was a beautiful moment. It was clearly an Irish moment. It was wonderful. But great place. Haven't been there in a while. I have to get back.
No, last time I was there was with you.
Yeah. That's, oh, God, that was fun, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Went on that seminar. It was packed. And then we went and did some touring and went to the dog show. Oh, you were at the dog show at the Irish Kennel Club showgrounds.
Yeah, loved it. Yeah.
Very cool. Do you know how they raised money for that, Will? Did I ever tell you this story?
I don't know if you did or not.
Tom Kramer, God bless him, I miss him so much. The late, funny, great, hysterically creative guy. He bought this land near the airport that no one wanted years ago. And when he wanted to put the buildings up, he sold off. Now, it's not square feet or square yards. There's a word over there. I'm not imperial minded, but whatever that is, what's a hectare? I don't know. But square pieces of land, about a few feet square, right?
Yeah.
And the deal was you bought that land, you know, just like you buy a star. You bought that land, you get a certificate, you own that land. And under one of them is a pot of gold.
Oh.
How clever was that, right?
Yeah.
You buy your, and then they finally dig up the pot of gold, and whoever has that little piece of dirt gets the money. Well, they raised a ton of money. It's just clever.
Yes.
Just clever. And that's how they built the first building. And
probably then, meters. They're probably using square meters.
Probably square meters, yeah. Mm-hmm. And then they, so they got the first building up, and then over, after making money with that, they added the other buildings and co-located it with a over, you know, breezeway thingy. But great grounds, a restaurant. You sit and watch a show.
Wasn't there a Hurley field close to it too?
Yeah.
Watching Hurley while we were there.
Yeah.
I still have my Hurley stick just in case.
So. Yeah, well, Mr. Kramer made sure we all had hurling sticks and and whatever other sport we didn't know about. We got all.
I thought it was great. The Hurley stick. Oh my God. I remember seeing a movie with Jason Statham and that was his weapon. Hurley stick.
He gave Brody one when Brody was like 10. I'm like, please don't hit me with that thing.
Yeah.
Be careful swinging that thing around. Worse than a lacrosse stick.
It is. And the Hurley ball. I got a Hurley ball. Yeah. You don't want to get by that.
No, you do not. Lacrosse balls, do you ever play lacrosse?
I played lacrosse all the way to grade 13. So when I was about 16, 17. Yeah.
Box or field?
Field.
Yeah. We don't have many box in it. It's mostly field here. That's a Brody play. And there was always one guy in the team with a wooden stick instead of the aluminum stick. Usually a D-man, right?
I have a wooden one and the brine fiberglass one. I have both. Really?
Very cool. We'll have to have a catch someday.
Oh, it's fun. I love it.
You know, we'll have to have a catch at a dog show. Oh, yes, dogs. That's the topic, isn't it, Will?
Well, Linda Campbell from Darwin Standard Poodle fame, her son Jamie owns the lacrosse team in Toronto.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Well, how
did that tie in there?
It tied in just beautifully. It was a great segue, young William. Very proud of you. Anyway, speaking of sports, I wouldn't mind talking about sportsmanship.
Mm-hmm.
A couple things over the last couple of months have crossed my mind, and I ruminate on them, and then I get to thinking about them, and then I try to turn it off, but it's there. You and I have discussed it many times. It seems to me that when people accuse judges of being crooks, it's only because they too are crooks.
Well, that's how they see things. I agree. Yeah.
And I'm not saying abject crooks or I'm just saying that people who tend to think it's political are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're always trying to justify, well, this happened because you were there, and this one wasn't there, and this one was talking to that one. Can't we just judge the dogs and not have all this stuff, this buzz in the background?
Well, I know this that just brought up a question in my head this weekend, not a question, a moment. This weekend, a person judged the group, and a dog that doesn't normally win won something. And the person that went second said, I don't know, where was the connection there? I said, the connection was that that's what they liked. Exactly. There was no connection.
That's a real good point. You do hear that all the time, right?
Oh my God, what connection? How did that happen? And what connection is that? Well,
who's doing that?
It might be a lack of a connection.
Yeah. The connection's between the ribbon and the hand. That's where the family connection is. Yeah, I don't know. It's very weird. And then you have people who decide that they don't like you anymore and they don't show under you, which is funny. No skin off the judge's back. Of course, they don't care.
Yes, they do. They got to change what they want to do because it's going to happen all the time. Yeah. There's always going to be people like that.
Yeah, and what you don't know is that a dog you've not done for before might be the best one that day.
Right.
Happens all the time. I had a woman this weekend tell me that she didn't enter that day because I dumped
her. Oh, I love that term, dumped.
Dumped her the last time I had her. I remember dumping her. I believe it was reserved because she couldn't stand still in the puppy class. But yeah, that's not dumping you. That's not dumping anybody. It's that there were dogs I preferred more.
Exactly.
Yeah, dump them. Yeah, he dumped me. Just dump me.
When you think about that, how did we ever come up with that term?
You to the dumps. To the dumps right now with the garbage and the trash and the smelly things.
I'm going to dump on you.
Pick the dog up and dump it.
Did you see that? Will dump me.
Yeah, he dumped me. We have some funny words. We really do have some funny words. Yeah. It's our own language, right? How about somebody went best? We all know what that means. You have to say they were awarded best in show. They went best. But it reminds me of the medical field or any other field where you have your own lingo. You have your own code. And we say it so often.
Oh, yeah.
She's not great behind.
I mean, exactly.
Did you see that coming at you? Like a meteor?
Her feet were in directions that were on the compass. You see it go?
It's true. Yeah, it's true. But, you know, it's only crooked if you make it crooked and if you think that way. And what a miserable life you're going to have at sport if you think there's connections for everything.
And it kills them trying to figure it out sometimes, right? Yeah. It just...
He doesn't like me. He never puts me up. You weren't entered. Your dog was.
Yeah. Yeah, I like you fine. I'll never forget. I watched this handler go after. It was Clay Cody, and he had placed their dog. But the handler's like, I thought you'd like this dog more than you did. And Clay's like, what dog was that? And they said the breed. And he went, oh, that dog, fourth. I gave that dog fourth. I like that dog very much. I gave him fourth in that strong group. And the person going after him was like, didn't know what to do. It's like, oh, yeah. You like my dog.
Yeah. Yeah, it happens. It happens, you know. Well, I've mentioned this before, maybe more than once, but my favorite is Jimmy Mitchell when someone asked him after why they didn't like his dog, why he didn't like their dog. And he said, well, I gave you one opinion so far. So the entry fee was $32. If you want another opinion, you have to cough up the 32. It's true. That's our opinion on the day.
Yeah, exactly.
On that day.
And it varies from day to day. Things happen in that ring that you're out of control. You have no control over. Yeah. And things happen. You know?
People overthink it. They simply overthink it. It's anyway. You do have to have a criminal mind to see crime, I guess. No, I have a wonderful message that someone sent me about such matters, which sparked this. It says, maybe those people could just prepare their dogs to the best of their ability and enjoy showing them to the fancy. They could do that instead of worrying about winning and whining. One more time. Maybe these people could just prepare their dogs to the best of their ability and enjoy showing them to the fancy. They could do that instead of worrying about winning and whining. Does everyone who enters a national specialty think they're going to win it?
Exactly, no. You have aspirations to be that victor. Everybody does. But in reality,
you're showing what you got on the day. And
that's right.
A dog that doesn't even make the cut in a national might be the dog you want to breed to. Or a bitch you want to get a puppy from, you know, depending on what you're looking for.
But I remember years ago, I went off on another handler, because they were that kind of conspiracy theory kind of person. And I told them, if they put more time into their dogs and less time into other activities, conspiracy theories, et cetera, that they might do better in the long run.
Man, the conspiracy theory is pretty good. There was a handler years ago who, I mean, every single win, he would trace it back. And it was extraordinary. Like the parking guy's wife's mother took croquet lessons with Bob's aunt's uncle who judged Gordon Setters or whatever. I mean, it was always crazy.
Who delivered the best peanut butter sandwich I've ever had in my life. And that's why.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, it's true, and it's never going to change.
No,
let's see, because there's always going to be those people on either end of the spectrum, from the handlers, the exhibitors, to the judges. You can't legislate integrity; it's just the way it goes.
Sometimes you win, sometimes you lose, and don't worry, you have 5,000 more opportunities in the next 12 months if you want to show your dog again. a dog this past weekend. A couple of them got beaten the breed by younger dogs, puppies or open dogs, or class dogs, and then did fine in the group the next day. What's wrong with that?
Yep.
What's wrong with that? It's the judge's opinion on the day.
Right.
That's how it works.
It's not going to change anything. You know, it's not going to.
It's not the end of the world. It's a dog show. For me,
I know at times when you're in the midst of that crazy first couple of campaigns in your career, that's how you think. You think, oh my God, and your week is ruined because you lost the breed on the Saturday, which you could have. There's always that handler that loses the breed and says, I could have gone best in show.
All day.
I always like that. I could have gone best in show.
I had it in the bag. He dumped me. He dumped me so I couldn't go best in show because he doesn't like me.
Yeah, he must have known I was going to go best in show. So his friends had me whacked. Yeah. It's like Joe Pesci. I'm going to whack that guy.
That's pretty good. It's true. He dumped me. He doesn't like me. What about I love you? What about a guy in English Setters who I didn't like at all? I remember pulling on the grounds with Cheryl. This is a long time ago. And he walked across the parking lot and I said, by the way, see that guy over there? I can't stand that guy. He's a real pain in the ass. He went winner's dog, winner's bitch, and best breed.
Oh, exactly.
What do you do? He had the best ones. But.
And we had this judge, I don't know if you remember, Hans Bernardi.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, he was a great, I loved showing to Hans. I was a great type judge, but he had this one handler that he detested and he always put up. But he talked to him after and he said, I hate that man. It's all I can do to give him a ribbon.
You know, it was also a guy that could judge type in just about any breed, Bill Taylor.
Oh, God, yeah.
He was Bill. One of our best. Oh, yeah, he looked the part too.
And he judged them like it depended. Like, he dumped me with one of my famous dogs in the breed and then gave me best in show 2 days later at a huge dog show. Because I got
entered again, didn't you, Will?
No, he was doing best in show. And I went in there and I went best in show. The dog went best in show. And I acted shocked. And he just said, I liked her more than the other six.
Yeah. It's true.
That's all it was. True.
Yeah.
I'd still beat her in the breed if that same dog showed up, but I liked her better than those other six.
That's why you don't play those games. But you didn't not enter because he was doing best.
No, God, you're going to get dumped. I'm going to pull. He beat me in the breed. I'm going to get someone else to show her. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. And I'm going to show him.
I'm going to get dumped. God, I love it. That's going to be the word. That's going to be the word. Anyway, I had a great time at the Kalamazoo shows this weekend. Right here in town, which is kind of nice. And I got to observe, apprentice in Borzoi under Linda Herbos and Charlie
Old. My old boss.
Yeah, yeah. Boy, it was awesome. Linda was so good at going over everything and talking to me about, not just in the ring. You know, we talked after too.
Yeah.
Great teacher. And then Peggy Beisel, too, who did a wonderful thing for me. It's a breed that needs to have a broad, rounded back skull. And it's a hairy breed, so you can't see that. And I can't touch him as the apprentice. She put her hand, she said, watch my hand. Where I'm gonna, here's the size of my hand. Here's the size of the skull. You can watch me. I'm going to show you how broad these skulls really are. How cool was that? Yeah. You know, so you've got these judges who are really good teachers. And it's important that you find them in breeds that they're comfortable with too. And then Charlie gave me another whole perspective on Borzoi, you know, a whole different way of looking at them. It was great. It was great. It was just, those are good opportunities if you have the right combination of people.
Right.
If
that was Charlie Olvis, right?
Yeah. You don't just walk through and find somebody that, you know, well, they've had the breed for 12 years. And walk in there not say anything and not learn anything. Because I'm going to ask questions before the show, after the show, and, you know, the next week maybe.
Right.
I learned, it was really cool. It's one of those breeds, Borzoi, that I think I know pretty well. You know, grew up in an area where they're all over the place. But it's awfully nice to get in there and get fine-tuned. And
you or even it's nice to know that you know what you know.
Well, that's important too.
You know?
It was a confidence builder too. Definitely a confidence builder. You know, you walk in that ring and you're like, this is exactly what I would do. I didn't think I knew that until I did it. You know, Marilyn Monroe once said, I didn't know I thought that until I said it. It's a great quote. Great quote. But yeah, it was a really good experience. And by the way, let me just tell you about this club, these clubs, Will. Pat Cronemeyer was one of the leads for the weekend. Jim Fankhauser, I hate to do this weekend because there's so many people involved equally. And together, these are clubs from an hour away. Mm-hmm. And they all have their show here in Kalamazoo to make it a Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, 5-day show. And their day, at lunch break, everything shuts down. The judges all stop at around the same time. They all go to lunch. The professional handlers, the certified AKC, was that what it's called now?
Yeah.
AKC certified handlers. They each take a ring and give a handling class. How cool is that?
That's
right in the middle of the dog show. And we had good ones. I saw Laura King and Doug Belter, and I'm sure there were others I missed. But they each had their corner. They each got a ring, a whole ring. And they did a handling class for that during the lunch hour. The other thing they did was they opened up two rings, put a bunch of chairs in there and had meet the breeds. You could go in. This wasn't a booth. It wasn't a big thing. You could sit there in your chair with your dachshund on your lap and people can go by and ask questions about your dachshund. It was wonderful. And these are the kind of little things that clubs really need to embrace. They also had a big junior runoff, and I don't know what the prize was. It must have been big, but it was the best junior of, you know, all the winners of the weekend coming together. Non-official.
Well, that's a good idea.
Yeah. They do a lot of those unofficial things that works great. They did a Breeders' Cup one year that I did, and it was all the best bred buys from each breed. It's just such a cool idea, you know? Just such a cool idea. And a big entry as a result, 1,300, 1,400.
Well, it's exhibitor friendly. It makes them want to come there, want to be there, because there's more events for them to do than just... They're one.
So. Yeah, and it's a great facility, too. There's camping right there, full hookups, lots of
them. That is a good facility.
And they used to just have the Hazel Gray building where you had to jam everything in. Now, at the new building, the Expo Center building, The rings are there, and the whole Hazel Gray building is just grooming. It's a wonderful sight. It really is. And they keep the judges at a really nice place downtown. There's restaurants galore. And, you know, it's like any neighborhood of the expo centers. It's not it's not Beverly Hills. But around it, you can get to some really nice places and lots of hotels, lots of dog-friendly hotels. So, yeah, it's all good. Congratulations to those clubs. That's
more clubs need to. I wish more clubs would do that up here, where they'd get along with each other and then cluster like that.
Wouldn't it be nice?
Yeah, it works out well.
Battle Creek Kennel Club, which is a half hour east, Greater Muskegon, which is an hour north, Kalamazoo Kennel Club, and Grand Rapids, an hour north, and Holland, Michigan, which is even farther northwest than that. West than that. It's a great bunch of dog people, and they know what they're doing, and it's completely obvious when you walk in the building. You can feel
it's nice when they can put egos aside and do that for the sport, because sometimes clubs just don't get along and they cannot put their egos aside and deal with each other.
I'm going to read off the cluster committee because I happen to have it in my catalog. As I mentioned, Pat Cronemeyer, Nancy Gallant, one of my favorites, Kim Johnston, Susan McCarthy, Fred Heyer, who does a great job, Sandy Morris, Jim Fankhauser, Julie Prentice, Kevin Niebauer, who, boy, he's what a font he is. He gets things done. Carol Lynn Johnson and Kim Keynes, Diane Murray. This is how you do it, folks. You get that many people working on a cluster committee together, that many, and they're all workers too. And, you know, Kevin's a great guy. He's also superintendent. Fred Heyer's had experience in all those things too. By the way, and this really helps too. I had incredible stewards. Incredible stewards. One guy, fascinating guy, his name was Nick. He's from Great Britain. He's delightful. He really knows what he's doing. He makes sure you get your book right. He checks everything. He calls the dogs in. He's not in there for a social affair with ringside, but he's very pleasant. He's just wonderful. And he's a fascinating guy, too. He's into railroads, and he's at Michigan State, and something to do with railroad history, or if I miss it, Nick, I'm sorry, but something to do with railroads. It's what you can find at dog shows if you look. Fascinating people with interesting stories.
Well, for sure. They're all over them. And like last weekend, we had the show at the Royal. And I think we talked about it already in the cattle judging. Well, it's amazing. I went to my handling class, and one of the girls that came in brand new from my handling class, she had a center poodle, and she did pretty well. We started talking. She was there at the Royal showing cattle.
Really?
Yeah. So
it was cattle and poodles.
Yeah,
it's my kind of peeps, you know.
Weekend we have the Aurora Kennel Club, which is held in conjunction with the Pet Expo, which is again by the airport. So it's going to be a great. I've been there many times. I was a member at one point, and the way they separate, they have the Pet Expo on one side and the show on the other side. And Grant Crossman and his team, I can't remember everybody. My buddy Colin Brownlee's on the team, and Heather Brennan's on the team. I don't want to miss anybody, so I'm going to stop there. But they do a great job running this dog show, and it's a busy dog show. And it's hard because at the Pet Expo, you're allowed to bring your pets and walk around the event. Well, then they wander into the dog show, and then the dogs. So sometimes they get too close to the dogs with their dogs. So we did have some issues at times where battles broke out. Like, what are you doing here? Right. The two dogs, right. But it worked. They do such a good job. And that was actually Dr. Mean was a member of that club.
Oh, yeah.
And it was his baby, actually, but it put it all together. And we used to sit on the stage and talk to Dr. Mean because we put him on a pedestal. No matter where he was, he was put on a pedestal, and we'd all go and talk to him. And he would do the commentating, which was, can you imagine listening to Dr. Mean? It was the very best. Every once in a while, things would slip or someone would say something, and all you'd hear is boisterous laughter throughout the event.
Oh, he had great laugh, didn't he?
No, he did.
People think about, if anybody's thinking about Canada as the second level, let me tell you about Bill Taylor, Dick Mean, John Reeves News, and you can go on for Virginia Line. I mean, you can go on forever about the great, great dog people you have up there and the great dogs who come down and usually do something at Westminster every year, right? I mean, there's been a history.
Your greatest winning dog of all time was bred up here.
Is that right? Oh, that's right.
You know that.
Yeah. Which one was that?
Mystique.
Mystique? Ah. What about the Portuguese water dog?
He's the greatest winning male of all time.
Wow.
And he was bred down the road.
I think so. That's Matisse we're talking.
Not that I like to bring that up once in a while, but I do bring that up.
And there was I understand it was a beagle from Canada that won the garden.
Yeah.
And an old English sheepdog, too.
Yeah, yeah.
And probably others. Probably others.
And it was funny because last weekend at the old York Kennel Club, the kennel club that joined was Credit Valley Kennel Club, with the two shows, like a somewhat of a cluster. Well, Alan McGregor is the president of the Credit Valley Kennel Club. He owned that dog, Dudley, that was best in show with Malcolm Fellows back in the day. He was the owner of Dudley. Yeah, him and Barbara Van Ward. Yeah.
Small world, but I wouldn't want to paint it.
Also, I wouldn't want to paint it, yeah.
Also, Kalamazoo, I met a couple new people I've never met that listen to the podcast, Brenda and Randy Chelinski, Brenda Young, I believe. Avid listeners and really fun to talk to people that you never met before that listen and tune in and listen to.
So we had my mom and those two. We are building up an audience.
Yeah, and our son, Brody, watches and listens to them. Yeah. Yeah, that's all going on. But
I think my sister listens once in a while too.
That should be good for her.
Yeah, because then she'll call me afterwards and complain about my grammar sometimes.
Once in a while, I always listen back, unlike someone else. And the things that come out of my mouth for an English major are pretty astounding sometimes. It's because we're not rehearsing here. We're just conversational.
And we're just talking because we're lucky because this was started because you and I used to just talk on the phone. And we thought, we might as well. Let's see how it goes. So we've actually toned it down a little bit.
Well, not before we hit record. We haven't turned it down.
Yeah, exactly.
If for let's see, we could do a membership. You get to hear the half hour before and the half hour after.
Yeah, we can call it for members only.
For members only. It's going to cost you a lot, and you're going to need
a lawyer. Yeah, that's a good idea.
We're going to need lawyers. But that would be fun, though. Oh, my. One of these days, we're going to make a mistake and not hit the end recording.
Well, every once in a while, I look in that left-hand corner. Are we recording or not recording? And if we're recording, Doc, make sure you take that out.
Yes, indeed. No doubt about it. Hey, we got a little dog show coming up here in a couple of weeks. 5,000, over 5,000 entries.
Yeah.
Talking about
that's
the
amazing, isn't it?
Over 5,000. That is so cool.
That could change some end of the year standings.
Oh, I hadn't thought of that.
Yeah, no, for sure.
Wow, that's like, well, that is 10 dog shows.
Yeah.
The average show being 500-600, that's 10 dog shows. Jeez. Yeah,
can you imagine?
The Barbay National is going to be there on Friday, and I love that breed.
Me too.
I hope I can get down there and see them because I'm taking bunch of hound seminars and have other commitments and things while I'm down there. But I look forward to it. You're going down. When are you going down?
No, I'm not going this year, I'm afraid. I looked at it and was realistic with myself and thought, can I make this happen? And I just couldn't. I'm not going. So,
but Will, when we're too tired to go to dinner, how are we going to go down and get a sandwich in that little deli and then talk on the phone while we're eating our sandwiches in each other's eating?
I know. Isn't that pathetic?
I'm gonna miss that, buddy.
I'll make some sandwiches up here. You call me.
Yeah.
And we'll you know we're still gonna talk because I'm gonna want to know what's going on.
But that is, ladies and gentlemen, that's true stories. One night we're so tired, then rather than just getting a sandwich in the deli, we got them and brought them back to our individual rooms and talked on the phone while.
Oh, you need my that God. Pickle.
Beautiful. That's a great little grocery center across the street. It's a great little deli there.
I do like that deli, though. Now you made me think of it. That was good. That was
good stuff. Good stuff.
And I would go there. Remember going to the bar and having sushi?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. That was fun, too. I saw a post that someone put up on social media saying, I've just sent in my entry fees, my hotel reservations, and my flights for Orlando. Now I'm going to have to work an extra 6 months after retirement. It's dear. You know, it's dear.
For sure. It sure is.
you know, it's 5 days, so that's probably seven. And you're going to be traveling and buying things and maybe even going to Disneyland or whatever people do. I don't know. But
see, I could, if I wanted to, if I had the time, I could go down there and just mooch off my son, Adam.
Yes, that's a great idea.
You need a place to stay, Adam.
Yeah, that's a great idea. Have you ever actually paid for a hotel room, Mom?
Have I?
Yeah.
I'm sure I have at some point in my life.
Hey, you got a couch? It's fun to do. Wouldn't that be fun to take a year and say, I'm not paying for a room?
You could do it. You could do it. And I remember when I worked for Gary McDonald, we always had one person that always just showed
up. Yes, there's always that guy.
On the floor.
Yeah, there's always that person. Yeah. When I worked for Bob and Jane, they put you up with one of the other handlers just to split the cost because, you know, thrifty. And it would be Bobby Fowler.
New Jag every year.
Yeah, yeah. Peter Green was my favorite to room with. He was just so funny. And Bobby Fowler was great, except he snored like a freight train. Yeah. So, you know, there's always that. But you never know who you're going to get thrown in with, and it can be hysterically funny. But that's another story. That's the half hour before and the half hour after for members only stories.
But it's true. I start thinking you have that. I have my characters up here, and that was the same thing, just different players.
Mm-hmm. You know? Absolutely. Hey, it's expensive out there. You know, when I was thinking about this, when you have a show venue now, the camping thing is such a big deal. It's such a big deal. If you have your own trailer, RV, whatever, and you can sleep in there and keep your dogs in there, just open up the door in the morning, throw them in the X-Pens, and walk 10 feet from the shower to the show, I can see that being habit-forming. And as a result,
sure,
that's another couple hundred grand you throw into the kitty while you're making money breeding show dogs. You know? Another 100, 200 grand just to have a pool. But it's cheaper probably than having a hotel room every weekend, and certainly more convenient. And you can be with your dog. You don't have to leave them.
Right.
Go back. I think that's...
And that was the good part about it.
Yeah.
And you got a little more sleep. A little more sleep.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So 5,000 plus down there in Orlando.
That's amazing.
And there's bred by groups, and there's some interesting groups and puppy groups and all those good things. So it'll be fun. It'll be fun. I look forward to it. I think I'm going down on maybe Thursday. Yeah, probably Thursday for the Friday seminars, staying through. I think I'm leaving Monday morning. I am. So Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Yeah, it's going to not be a cheap trip for me. Well, and when you have to pay for the seminars too, you know, and really that's not a hardship for me, but God bless the people who are transitioning from handling or any other job into judging, thinking they're going to make money doing it. Boy, it's expensive to be a judge.
Yeah.
Really expensive. Time too, you know, just going to all those places.
It is, you know, like I was telling you earlier in our half hour beforehand, there's not enough hours in the day. Like I look at my weekly list that I do on Monday morning, I write a list of what needs to be accomplished that week. I'm nowhere near done, Wayne. I'm nowhere near done.
Me too. And we've talked about this off the air about social media and television.
We did talk about that.
And Will, you mentioned that you want to just go cold turkey for a while. I've tried that. I think it lasted 3 minutes. I'm not sure if it was four. But
well, can I premise this a little bit?
Yeah.
There's a television series on Netflix called Cabinet of Curiosities with Guillermo del Toro. And it's wonderful. There's like 8 episodes. But my very favorite episodes are the ones by H.P. Lovecraft. And the other ones are excellent as well. But those two really caught my interest. And I started thinking about it. Well, when he was writing his stories, he had zero outside interference as far as media and electronics went. So all he had to do was sit. So this is how I think I was talking to you about this. And this is when you told me about your experiment.
Yep.
And it really needs to be done. I tried a little bit yesterday, just leaving the radio on and trying to stay away from my phone. But I hate does your phone give you weekly updates of how many hours you're on per day?
Yes.
Ooh. That freaks me out.
Yeah, let's remove that part.
Yes. But
I once went to Mexico by myself. I confused many people. but I needed to write. I needed to write, and I needed a week to catch up on my writing. And it was spectacular. I mean, I had zero distractions, no phone, didn't work. Internet, yeah, but I didn't. I only used it for reference. And I was outside a lot writing on the little patio. And I did take some Spanish classes. That was it for being out of the room. And but I can tell you, these are all inclusive places. And when you walk into a restaurant by yourself, they're pretty certain you just killed your wife. Will your wife be joining you? No,
not tonight.
Oh, okay. But you look really, because it's all about couples and all inclusive. It's per. In fact, it's hard to rent in some places, just a room with one person. You have to pay for two sometimes. You have to be careful with those. But yeah, you look pretty silly. Everyone's walking around, you're like, just me again. Yeah, just me. Don't look in the closet. But yeah, it happens, you know. And you end up being buddies with the waiter because he feels sorry for you, wants to talk to you. So it all works out. But really, you need that time. And I think one of the things that does work for me is setting hours. First of all, I'm not on TikTok because as soon as I thought how enthused you were about it, I knew I couldn't go there. Because I would be too. So I'm not on TikTok. I'm not on Twitter anymore. I just didn't use it. What do I got to tweet? I never understood it anyway.
No, me either.
But yeah. I did the old person's thing, the Facebook thing. And I really try to set hours. So my new goal is after 6 o'clock, not picking up a telephone at night. And it's going to be better.
I just thought you were ignoring me.
I should. I would like to post something that says, by the way, you know, between 6 at night and 6 in the morning, I'm off the tube.
Yeah.
But
you're open for 24 hours, just not in a row.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. There you go. You know, the only thing is funny when people post, okay, everyone, just so you know, I'm taking a break. I'm not going to be on Facebook for a couple months. And they post that. And then they turn off Facebook and no one can read that. So they have to leave it up for a couple of days.
And then they check the comments and then oh, look, who commented. Oh, I better message them back.
I got to check those out. Oh, look.
I find that with TikTok, I'll be in bed. I'll go, oh, ready for bed, right? Oh, I'll just TikTok for 10 minutes. I'll just check out what's going on and what's new. 2 hours later, your eyes are, and you're like, oh, I better shut this thing up.
Haven't you learned on TikTok that you're supposed to tape your mouth shut when you sleep? It's a new thing.
Is it?
Somebody on TikTok posted you tape your mouth shut, you sleep better. And it took off. Everyone's taping their mouth shut.
I'm going to try that tonight then.
little issue if you are a nose breather or if you're a mouth breather and you haven't quite trained your nose to breathe. Even worse, if you have a stuffy head and your nose is clogged, you just might suffocate yourself to death. Other than that, it's terrific.
I did watch this thing last night, though, about this gentleman, this farmer, that he was trying to get rid of rodents. And he came up with this all-natural concoction of cornbread baking, like the cornbread meal, the actual baking powder, and baking powder mixed together. And he would put that out. And that would slowly kill off his rats or his rodents. You know why? Because apparently rodents can't fart. they blow up inside.
Is this on TikTok, Will?
Yeah.
I don't believe it. You're wasting your time with the TikTok. It's spinning your eyeballs so you can't sleep. And none of it's true.
I'm going to try it. Not that I have a rodent problem, but I didn't know rodents couldn't fart.
Take me out for some beer and tacos and see what happens. Jeez. Oh, my. We have gotten off track. Anyway.
Yeah.
Anyway, the year-end race is on, right?
Yeah.
The race for points. So dogs show up that you had no idea were going to be there. Sometimes it works. Sometimes it does not. Depends on what territory you come into. I remember when Houston Clark and Toddy, who I love dearly, when they'd go up to New England once in a, I mean, it was rare, they would get their clocks cleaned. Yeah. And they didn't come back. And I remember, some of the East Coast, the New England people, we get down south, we get hammered down there. I think that's different now.
It is different. And I always wonder, there are a set of shows that I used to call borderless. Yeah. And that would be AKC, like the AKC shows are borderless. Yeah. Cobo Hall, UC Borders, Louisville, UC, anyone could show up at those shows and still be competitive. Mm-hmm. Now, your everyday shows, George Ward would tell you, don't come to Michigan, and especially you bringing your one hotshot dog, don't come here and think you're going to wipe us out. Mm-hmm. He didn't mind when you brought a whole string of dogs adding to the economy of the dog show. But if you showed up with one dog, nah.
Yeah, it's a little different world here. It's interesting. There used to be such a tremendous moat with gators in it down the Mississippi, where the East Coast dogs and West Coast dogs never met until the garden. Now those days are gone, and we don't think anything of flying dogs around and doing all those things we really didn't dream of.
I do like that there's that one show. Like, we used to have the end of the year was the Credit Valley Dog Show, and that show, 1 year when I was showing Impresario, that show made him number one dog in the country because he won two of the best in shows there. I like that. I like when there's, but even now, AKC is not the last show of the year. When we were showing P, we needed that one more group when Cleveland. We were, and we had to take our butts to Cleveland overnight to try to get that last group win.
Yeah, I remember that was it still is a big show. Whether I'm judging or showing there, or either way, it's always a...
Because, yeah, back in the day, Cleveland was the end, wasn't it? Yeah.
And I had a call in setters that was going to decide who was number one. And that's not fun.
No.
You don't do that. You get it out of your head and you go, no, it's a dog show. I'm just
going to judge, yeah.
Be selfish. That is, I thought about that this weekend when I was judging. I'm here to please no one, none of my friends, none of my enemies, no one but me. That's the only person who matters in there is my opinion. I don't care what I know other people are going to think. When you judge, I was thinking about this when I was walking the dogs morning. When you're judging, you're judging dogs and the sport is judging you. When you're outside the ring, you can't see what we see as judges. And when you're outside the ring observing a judge, you can't see what we see. And to judge judges can be funny. I mean, it can be hysterically funny. It can be appropriate. But you can't think about that. You can't think about what the world's going to think of what you're going to do.
No, you cannot.
You just can't.
And let's face it, they're only going to think that way for a week till the next dog show, so it doesn't matter.
Or the afternoon when the dog show changes too.
Right.
The same day. Can't just be the best in show winner for one day. Just give me 24 hours. Who wants to be best in show winner for 12 hours?
Right.
That's hardly worth it. Anyway.
It used to be so exciting when you won. I guess it still is. But I mean, I remember when I was in my 20s and the dog I was showing would go best in show, it was like, you were so excited. You were so excited because you were best. You were the champion of that day. That was, Yeah.
And it was rare. People just, there's plenty of people in the world who are never good dog people. Who never won one or never even won a group, maybe.
Yep.
But now that there's 10 million shows with 300 dogs on them, and anybody, you get the best in show. You get the best in show. Not quite the same. But when you win the big one, it does feel.
Made me think of Al Pacino there. You're out of order. You're out of order.
God, your TV, you must watch some TV.
Oh no, I'm watching too much. Those are old movies though. That was when I was a kid.
Yeah, you were a kid. Yeah. The last movie I saw that I really enjoyed, it was great acting and all. It was called Willy Wonka's Chocolate Factory. The original one with
Gene Wilder.
Gene Wilder, yeah. I haven't seen any movies since, I don't think. But no, I've seen a few. I do like a good movie. But the TV doesn't go on in our house very often.
Yeah.
It's not.
I'm trying, Wayne. I shut it down all day yesterday until my son got here. So,
well, no, I can tell you that, and this is my guilty pleasure. I mentioned it last year. Hey, is it 75?
No, last week was 75.
That was last week. Okay, now we have to worry about 100.
Yeah.
About 100. Anyway, I mentioned last year this. I admitted that I have this guilty pleasure. In the winter, when it's really gray and snowy out here, I have been known to cuddle up.
Oh, here it comes.
My lap and watch a Hallmark Christmas movie.
Yeah. They're going to think the Hallmark sponsors us. Huh? They're going to think that.
I think it's true. I don't share those things. Now, Cheryl hates it if I watch it with her because in the first 30 seconds, I tell her exactly what's going to happen. And I'm never wrong. But then again, anyone could do that.
They're the same recipe. If it works, it works, right?
It's brilliant marketing, isn't it?
Works.
Hey, we're going to have one formula. We're going to have the breakup, the almost kiss, and then get back together because the jobs, and they realize that it's more important to be home. You know all that. But you still watch because, damn it, it's guaranteed to bring you happiness, Will.
That's right.
It shows you that the world is perfect and you have no worries.
Pickup trucks and lumber jackets.
Yeah. Shiny pickup trucks. Yeah. Even in the snow, which I
always thought. There's no salt on them.
No, not a bit. Anyway. All right. We got some big dog shows coming up. Certainly the Invitational, the AKC Invitational Orlando is the big mother. And there's lots of shows leading up to it, and specials meeting up to it. That'll be great fun. And then down the road, we're wrapping up the year and moving on to next year. And
that's right.
It'll be one more time all over again.
I know. I always love it when a handler says to me, oh, I can't wait for the year to be over for next year to start. It just continues.
Like the pandemic, right? When the year of COVID, what was it, 2020? When it's over, the end of the year, no one's getting sick. It's all going away. That's not quite how viruses work.
Out of nowhere, it'll just be gone.
Thanks for playing.
Yeah. Out of nowhere, it'll just be gone.
Yeah. I'm getting a whole lot of phone calls all at once all of a sudden. It's time to wrap it up because the beagle needs to pee, Will. She needs to go out and pee. Then she's going to go over and play in the snow at Haley's house. And then we'll see where she ends up next. To be continued.
It's a secret.
All right, buddy.
All right.
I think we're done.
I think that was a wrap. Everybody stay safe out there until we see you down the road.
Yep.
Party on, Bert.
No way.
Better be paying attention, Doc.
Give me grace. Thanks. Bury my sins. Shattered
glass. Ernie can use this in the blooper reel.
That's right. We love you, Ernie.
Don't put that in, Ernie.
Taking yourself so damn seriously.
Hit it!
Under my feet, stranger things.
I'm on the road. I'm coming down
to see the world and take the throne. Don't hold back.
Thanks, Ernie.
Oh, we didn't mention hockey either.
Isn't that unbelievable, though? Put that in, Doc.
Man, I don't want to see it on a blooper anywhere.